You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
16 in the first group, 4 went back and 4 came back over. And, oh no, 3 went back, 4 came back over. We had 17 in the second group on the ground and 16 in the first group. And it was just a fantastic thing. 8 of the team members don't come to LMC. And they came from different places with just a heart and desire to go to Africa, but also to work on the ground. And when we set this team up, we really thought that we would just take 2 teams over for 2 weeks. But it turned out that so many of the team wanted to stay for the whole time that that was a surprising thing. The prime aim to go over was to completely secure Merida's 40 acres. And we'd bought an initial 10 acres, or Rita had, and then there's an opportunity for the 30 acres to come up. So she's purchased that. And last year we went across and we did just a quarter of it, really. And so this time going across, we set ourselves the aim to finish off the whole lot. We did 1,300 metres of fencing. We put up 350 poles, which weighed 26 tonne in total. We used 50 bags of cement. The locals, thank goodness for the locals, they mixed 175 barrows of concrete. We ran 3.9 kilometres of wire, 2.6 kilometres of barbed wire. Bill Simpson actually cut 1,750 twitches for us, which was fantastic. He sat there every day twitching, cutting, and that was just a brilliant job. In fact, I think he's doing it in his sleep still. And we clipped 6,000 netting clips onto wire. And so it was a great job. And I know many of you have probably seen photos on Facebook, but we're just going to quickly go through. So let me do it real quick. And then I'll show you things from other people. I'm not going to show you everything, but just Kampala quickly. It's a very, very different place. This was a great one because the cows had their tails tied up high so they didn't make a mess. Now, I don't know how that stopped them, but that worked. The repair shop, just a typical house on the road as we were going up there. And this is a travelling salesman. You can buy anything you want on the road. And then one of the local markets in Entebbe there. And again, just a market on the side of the street. Now, here's an inventive guy that had turned his bike into a saw and a knife sharpening thing. And so he just has a bit of string that runs around the rim and he pedals backwards and runs a grinding wheel and sharpens knives and saws. And there's the local butcher, freshly hung meat in quality control situations. And you know the meat that's good because it's the one that's got all the flies on it, okay? If the meat hasn't got flies on it, then it's a local vegetable market on the way. And this is where we bought all our fresh produce on our ride up, our drive up. And this is Belusa Town. This is the main street. This is where Marita lives. And this is downtown. We're going downtown to Belusa, and that's exactly what it looks like. And baboons everywhere. In fact, I know because I have a camera full of about 1,000 baboons because every time Chris saw one, she wanted one. And there's the gate. This is the gate that's finished, the front gate. One of the things that we had happen as we did the fence was that the church here had provided money to buy all the gates. And so as a church, you put in $30,000 towards this fence and all the gates and all the things that went with that. And again, we're incredibly thankful for just the ownership that we as a church have. But this is the main gate. And the guys, the locals, have just taken so much pride in doing their work. And just the welcome to Amari sign is just a fantastic thing. And again, there's 3 main gates, depending on which way you'll come. And again, it's just a really incredible thing. I can't explain to you just what it's like to have gates and have it secure on that property after all this time. This is one of the pedestrian gates that the kids come in. And again, putting those up was just an amazing job. This is a pano from the rooftop of one of Marita's buildings, and just again, it just shows how the compound has grown. And again, there the sleeping quarters that we slept in. The hut in the middle was an undercover hut that we ate in, and then the big one behind that was our nighttime hut, supposedly to stop the lake flies and the mosquitoes, but it didn't do that too well. This is the whole team, plus all the locals, plus the kids that are on the property after hours that live on the property. And as you can see, one of the things that I keep saying to people, Marita's not just training children. She's actually providing an income for the community and impacting a community in a mighty way. There's about 30 that now live on the compound, plus the team that was there. And it was just a hive of activity. And I think it'd be pretty quiet for Marita right now. This is team number one, the guys. And I'll show you a photo in a minute, what happens to the guys when you arrive. The ladies, and we're missing a couple that didn't come, but they were in the first one. And I apologise to them that we didn't get a good photo at the end. And then, men, if you go, you've got to have a number one, and that's all there is to it, okay? So Aidan had beautiful locks before he went. He had a lot of gel that he took to keep it looking nice. Well, that lasted about 2 hours once he landed on the ground. Some of the locals that worked with us, and these guys were just awesome. Every morning we would start off with devotions, and 8 o'clock devotions, and that was just a time of sharing. And our theme at devotions for the whole month that we were away was finding something to give thanks for every day. And it was just a fantastic thing as we every morning got up and just shared something that we found that we could appreciate. And many, many times there was tears as we just talked about our appreciation for what God has given us. And oftentimes the little bits of compassion that came upon us. This is a pano of just one of the corners of the property as we started to do the fencing, the laying out of the fence poles. And this year we were able to do things a little faster because we were a little bit smarter in how we were going. One of the ways of being smarter was that we hired a truck for 2 days to actually carry the poles with us. And for those that went last year, three guys for 3 days carried the poles around the property. Well, this way we were able to move all the poles. And the locals, again, thanks to the donations of here, we were able to buy 12 moulds. The locals, before we arrived, had made the 350 poles that we needed, which means that they've now got the moulds that they can use to make more poles to sell in their local community. And there's already one businessman who wants Marita to make some poles for his compound. And so the locals, together with Stuart was in charge of this job, spent 2 days lifting 26 ton of poles into the back of this truck and taking them around, which saved us a lot of time. And they worked extremely hard. And you can see how heavy they were to lift them up and how many guys it took. And then the other thing that we did, and again, thanks to the men's group, because you provided the money to buy all the equipment that we took over. We took over two petrol-driven post-hole diggers, which was fantastic. We took over some hole shovels, which again made a big difference. And then we bought crowbars. Now, you'd think buying crowbars, that's an easy thing. Find them is a hard thing in Uganda. But to have them was just brilliant, because last year we were using sticks as crowbars to try and break up in the hard dirt. And so with those things, that enabled us to do things a lot quicker, and it was just a great thing. The locals were taught how to use the post hole digger, and again, we've left that there, and we hope that they will use them not only around the property, but might be able to do other fencing jobs to provide a little bit of income for Marita and for the others around. One of the other things that we did is back here, one of the guys that came with us from King Lake made up a wire spinner. And again, to lift up 350 metre rolls of wire and to move those and to roll them out was a big job last time. But to have this wire spinner made a big difference, and it made things a lot quicker. The other thing we did is a company out of King Lake provided a whole lot of gripples and a gripple machine. And this is the gripple machine. And again, that made it far easier, twitching all the wire and putting it together. So the fencing went along brilliantly. Look how straight those poles are. And we had the height right. Rick Radford came and he quickly got us into a bit of timber with a gauge on it. So time and motion study was every part of everything we did. And you can see we all look like council workers. We're all standing watching people work. But that's okay. It was hot. And just the excitement of seeing the fence go. One of the things that was probably disappointing for Dave and Aidan and those that went back was that they worked hard in putting up the fence poles but didn't get a chance to see the wire going up. The gates being carried down, and again, everything's done manually. You know, we use bobcats, we use diggers, we use everything and anything to do what we do, and OH&S would say that you can't lift those gate poles, you've got to get a small crane. Well, not here. And in fact, we had them running, marching, jumping, dancing, singing, and those guys, the locals, were just brilliant to work with. Those gates came up brilliantly. And then finally putting the wire on, and you can see again, just without the tools that we would have here, the stretching was all done by hand, and it just went like clockwork. The last pedestrian gate, and the cows, you can see, are quite upset that where they used to go, because they would travel everywhere. Cows just walk around everywhere. They have fun. They just move around, and part of the deal with Marita's property was that she would have goats and cows wandering through all the time, eating her good trees. And they've planted, I think, nearly 300 trees now, as well as what was on the property. And these cows, every day, would come to the fence, and you could see they were having a meeting. Now, what are we going to do about this? And then there's a great photo of Marita, and that's an exciting photo. It really is. And looking down again from the roof, very hard to get a good view of the 40 acres from the roof. But just an amazing thing to see, just that whole area covered. And there's a little bit of a pano of one of the corners. The road on the left will be the road that Marita starts now to use as her main entrance. And there's another one just looking over to one of the other corners from Marita's roofline. And then another one of the compound. And that's just a great photo. And you can see that the locals had taken a lot of pride in getting the place ready for us. They had made little paths and little garden areas. And that looks really sanitized there because you're not tripping over bricks and you're not seeing things on the ground. But they really had gone to town to make it look nice for us and get everything ready. That tin roof that you see on the left there, that's the new kitchen, which you'll see some photos of in a minute. And again, out of the $30,000 that we sent over for the fencing, that money also went into building that kitchen, basically for visitors, basically for work parties and people that would go later on. Marita, I don't think, would know how to use it, but that's okay. You think I joke, but that's the truth, isn't it, Joyce? Yeah, she'd just rather have beans and cassava because she doesn't have to cook it. But at the end of the fencing, once we'd finished the last bit of wire, one of the things that we did on the Sunday before we left was to actually have a celebration service. And we actually marched the whole 40 acres, stopping at each corner, stopping at each gate, and literally praying and dedicating the property for God. And you know, the kids, they marched out in front of us singing because Marita's church service that she has on a Sunday predominantly is children. They marched, they sung, and they practiced for nearly a week every night just to get the songs right, to get the marching right, to get the beat right. And it was just a really, really, really fantastic time as we prayed, as they prayed, and just took ownership of what God had done. Some of the other work that was around is painting, and again, the colour's right there, but the next colour of paint wasn't right, but painting the buildings that are done, painting blackboards, and Marita said at one of her devotions just how much that released her, because they're the things that she used to do, or has to do, They're the things that she has to find time to do, to keep the blackboards painted, to do the charts that you'll see others have done. And so just to have a whole lot of people labour basically there at her beck and call to help her. And so you might think, well, I couldn't do a building. Well, that doesn't matter. There's so much work to be done. And just being there and helping is just a fantastic thing. We finished early, which was amazing, and so we decided that we would build a soccer pitch for the kids. We got out Marita's master plan, and I haven't got the photo to show you what it looked like before the case, but the guys got in there with their scythes and they cut the grass. We moved a mound of dirt and we built soccer, and now there's kids playing on that every Sunday. There's the kids straight after church, and they just love soccer. And for her children, for her school to have their, what we would call not an oval, but just a bit of flat space that they can kick a ball on, is just an amazing thing. This is the first day inside the new kitchen with all the supplies that we bought down in Kampala, getting it all ready. And just again, that kitchen compared to last year was just an amazing place where more than one person could work, where our team could work together. And again, somebody in the church provided for the new kitchen a new oven and bench tops made out of granite, which were just incredible. And again, we just love the way that the church has taken ownership of what Marita is doing and just has a vision for where it's at. And so tin cans, in fact, we spent more money in 4 weeks on food than what we pay Marita for a year, which is an amazing thing when you think of it. But there was no way that we could work there for the month without good food, and we certainly had good food. Everybody chipped in, and Jess and Ashley. Ashley is Marita's, second cousin? Second cousin, Marita's cousin's daughter. She's 16. She came for the month with her dad. And again, that was a really rich thing. Jess and Jill cooking. And then some of the little delicacies that we had to put up with. And as you can see, we starved. Life was tough. We only had a hot meal for lunch and for tea. Fresh bread and cookies every day. We had three of those every day, and all the girls learned how to cook bread, and us men were very, very happy with that. And then we taught Jazz some new tricks. They're the earplugs, and that's what they're for. What's wrong, Joyce? They fitted perfectly. We taught him how to wind them up and push them up. In fact, we told him if you pushed them hard enough, they'd come out his ears like they were in others. And we played with the guys, and this is Danny from King Lake. Danny was one of the guy that owned the farm up at King Lake, who we helped do the fencing after the fires, and he just wanted to give back in a way that he felt that he'd been blessed. And he came with his wife, his son, and his two daughters, his son, his daughter, and his son's girlfriend for a month. They spent a month there with us, which is just a brilliant thing. And they're now travelling around Australia having a holiday, just playing footy, and then, of course, the kids. Who can say anything about the kids? And we could spend all day just looking at the photos of the kids. It was brilliant. I can't remember this young man's name. Summer? Sunday. Sunday's got no arms. And he's just a ripper of a kid. And I walked into this classroom one day, and they were writing on their blackboards. And the teacher just walked over and shoved the crayon or the pencil in his foot, and off he went and wrote. And it was a funny thing, because I'd waved to Sunday and he never waved back. And I mean that all nice. I used to wave to him every day, and I just did it out of habit. But he is just such an amazing young man. And I don't know who sponsors him, but he's a good kid. And here's Mildred. Mildred is Marita's right-hand lady and virtually PAs for her, and is an amazing lady. And some of the ladies, they're cooking chapati which Ross just loves. This is cassava being cooked and the kids just playing in the rubble. There's rubbles everywhere, and here's little Henry, the poster boy. Henry is my favourite little one. I've seen him for 3 years now, and he's just an amazing kid. And to watch these kids over the 3 years change from sad, unhappy, dour little kids to kids who just got a smile on their dial all the time. And he's taking home a box. At the end of the day, they were given tin cans or boxes to take home. And a tin can that we would throw in the dustbin was a prized possession. Sharp corners and lids and all. Just an amazing thing. There's Jazz and Jonah. Jazz's little friend Jonah, and somebody's going to talk about the clothing that we took over. This is Muzza. He's the head builder. And again, everything's done by hand. He was making shower hangers for our clothes, and the wood is cut by hand, it's planed by hand, the holes are drilled by hand, and the pegs that go in to hang your clothes were chiselled and whittled by hand. So that's something that we're going to look at next year. This lady's a school teacher that doesn't work on the property. She works at a fishing village about 10 minutes away, and Marita, because she's got nothing to do, is helping a local fishing village, and she's supplying the wage for this teacher and one other. And that's the lady's workbook to teach the children, cardboard that we would throw out with writing on it. And this is the classroom for the children in that village, 120 kids under a tree. And Marita at the moment is trying to get the village to allow her to buy an acre of land to build a classroom there, which for some unknown reason, well, we know the reason, we won't go into it, they won't let her do it at the moment. But it just shows that Marita's not just looking after her own compound, but she has a passion for outside, and this is that fishing village that we're talking about. Down at the other fishing village, and then we move to the boar, and we'll see some other photos of the boar later on. But this boar is just, I think, an amazing testimony again to Marita's vision and what she's doing, but also to be able to minister into the community. Water is gold over there, and to have your own bore is a fantastic thing. But in Marita's case, she's made the bore open to the community. And the staff, again, were just so proud of this bore. Now, this was scratched into the concrete. We didn't know it was there until after a heavy rain. And walking by, we saw it, so I just put some white chalk in it so we could see it. But I think that's a testimony to the church again. You know, in two mission offerings over 2 months, we raised enough money, $11,500. And that bore was built in that period of time and up and running and ready for us when we got there. And it was just brilliant to have it, to be able to fill up all the jerry cans that we needed to keep mixing cement. And again, church, you should be really, really proud of yourselves in regard to just the heart and the passion that you've shown already by what you give. And then, just to show that it's not all hard work, the Nile trip and seeing all the animals on the way home is just a brilliant thing. And so, hippos and more hippos, and I don't know what they are, but they're animals. And I put this one in because I always thought when I saw that, does my bottom look too big in this? But more animals, elephants. And Chris's favourite animal, she thought he needed a bit of conditioning on the hair. Look at the horn on this thing. One's missing. We didn't see that. Marita saw that, but I put it in because I liked it. And Chris tells me it was real, but I reckon it was blow up just so that they could say they saw one, but whatever the case. So that's the end of that little presentation. What we're going to do right now is I'm going to invite people to come up. Stu, would you like to come up and just bring a presentation? Let's welcome Stu. Stu, pretty hard to see Stu in all the photos because Stu took most of the photos, but I pulled some out. Come up, Stu, and I'll just run people through these, and here's just a few of Stu. Stu was just one of those guys. He now speaks the language, he does the dancing, he can sing the songs, and He's just an amazing guy to have on the team, as you can see. I think some news about Angela saying you're not to come home until it grows.
Yeah.
Well, you're home, so that's a good thing. And Stu and Angela and that bought a push bike. It's not working. Oh, yeah, it is. A push bike for their family. Stu's main claim to fame, apart from moving poles, was doing the barbed wire with Rick. And they did 2.4K carrying poles. It took three of us normally to carry the poles, but Stu seemed to be able to do it on his own with just a bit of help. Learned how to carry water on his head. And then finally, in the fishing village. So there, Stu. Do you need the pulpit?
No, I'll be right. Thank you. Okay, wow. I made a whole lot of notes and then I threw them out and then I started again, but I'll go for it. So I want everyone to say de kurungi at the count of three, alrighty? One, two, three, de kurungi. Okay, once again? Okay, so if I say oletete, I want you to say de kurungi. So oletete. Okay, I've just taught a couple of hundred people Ugandan, so that's a mission accomplished. What I did teach you is I said, how are you? And you said, I'm good. Okay. Look, it was a real privilege to go again this year. Last year, I thought it was really humbling, and it was great to see so much and learn, meeting lots of new people. This year, it was amplified. I got to meet all my old friends over in Uganda and make a whole lot of new friends. And then I learnt more Ugandan, and I'm still a little kid speaking Ugandan, but they all put up with it. And then obviously the work we did. So it was really good to finish the fencing that we started last year and to do that with old friends and get to know them even better. So, and people like Dave, which I knew, but now I know a whole lot more, and new friends like Rick. One of the good things was getting up on the roof to clean the solar panels with Ben and having a look around, taking some photos, because you could get to see the whole property. And it's like looking at Central Park. It's all bush and you can't quite see all the boundaries. But having seen the plan that Marita has for the future, you could see it all sort of springing up. So you could see the buildings there and the people working. So there's guys clearing and people hanging up washing and build moving bricks. And so you could see this as it's building. So it's really exciting over the next few years. And I want to go each year if I can and take photos from the roof again just to see it all build. Seeing the kids grow from last year to this year is really interesting too. It's like my own, you know, that this year no kids have any front teeth. And they're all that age where they're all falling out. So, and to see that little kid Sunday and a few of the others is, you know, really exciting to see them just integrating with normal schools, doing their thing. And, you know, we did some beading, and you know this kid has no arms to do the beading, so we made him a necklace. I think it might have been Chris or some of the guys that made him a necklace. So he had his necklace because he didn't have one to put on his wrist. So, you know, it was good to see everyone getting involved. Oh, yeah, some of the other good stuff was the shopping. There's a lot of shopping to have, even though half it got taken off me at customs. I think Marita really enjoyed the night times because after everyone had gone to sleep, that's really the only time to have your shower because when you're pouring the water over by the starlight, it's nice and cool and you cool down. But Marita and I basically sat in the hut all night talking on the Facebook machine to each other. So it was not really much talking, but there's a lot of conversation. So while we were getting the pictures ready for the next day, we were chatting by keyboard. So that was good. I was asked to speak about a song that the kids would sing. They practiced and did a dance for us in a school, and there was a song called Welcome to Amari. So they would be saying, welcome, welcome to Amari, and welcome, welcome to Amari. So I thought, oh, that's something worth remembering because, you know, we were there to help Amari. And so I started brainwashing the whole team. So I'd start singing, you know, welcome, welcome to the airport, and welcome, welcome to dinner. And so by the end of the trip, you know, we're at Dubai and it'd be welcome, welcome to Dubai. And I think that stuck in everyone's head for a little while longer. So I'm still working on that. You know, welcome, welcome to McDonald's. So I got a few things out of it. One, I got to work hard and achieve the goals. I got to see some vision. I got to work with the kids and new and old friends. I got a T-shirt, which you got to do. You got to get a T-shirt. And I also made a new ringtone for my phone. So, I'm working on that. I wouldn't mind selling that. Make a few dollars for Amari. So anyway, I hope that made a bit of sense. Thank you.
I didn't do it. Oh, I did do it. Okay, let's welcome Dave Stewart as he comes to share. And Dave and Aidan were just fantastic and just an awesome guy. But quick little photos. Taught Gerard how to crack a whip. And here's a photo of the boar. And just amazing. Water is such a precious item that when we said to the guys one hot day, hey, put your head down and we'll pump, they didn't think they could do it because they'd be wasting water. And you wouldn't believe just the laughter and the happiness as the locals that worked with us felt as putting their head under that water. And that's a great photo. I like that. Your twitch is not as good as it could be there. I noticed that. I just wanted you to put that on. Then Dave, just one Sunday at church, just working with one of the little kids after Sunday's church, just doing their worksheet. And then with his sponsor family. And just, I love this one, just giving his sponsor girl a cuddle. And then one of the highlights for me was just watching Dave and Aidan together. Now, does that get enough light? Maybe if I put it over to here. How's that there, Dave?
Waleti. Now, I'll do a little bit of the education too. Waleti is good morning in Ugandan. It's the only word I knew, and I think I probably got it wrong even then too. But it took me 2 weeks to get that right. It's about six letters, and I've still got it wrong, I reckon, but work with me here. I'm going to give honour to my best mate. My best mate is my wife. And for allowing her with the enthusiasm, or you know, thanking her with the enthusiasm that she let Aidan and I go on this trip, and the excitement that she had, and financially the family sort of had to go without for two of us to go over, but I just want to honour her because she's probably one of the unsung heroes of this whole trip is my family and my beautiful wife. So, one of them I want to thank them. The other one is the bunch of people I went over with. What an awesome bunch of people. If I could have recorded something, you know, and Graham has said what happens in Uganda stays in Uganda, but there are some really, really good things that did happen that should come back here. The camaraderie and the workmanship, even though Graham's still wrong, spirit levels do work both ways, was outstanding. It was just catching up with Moose, who I hadn't seen for many, many years, and working with the locals was something that I'll probably go to my grave with, just remembering how much fun we had, plus worked really, really hard. And everyone worked as just an amazing team. The people over there, an unbelievably happy people. And the thing that humbled me the most is when we got there, we got out of the car, and we'd been driving for probably 8 hours. We got out of the car, and these people came up to greet me. And I had people kneeling down and bowing down to me. I couldn't deal with that. That really, really just struck my heart on how much these people think of us coming over to help. and their gratitude of it. And they haven't spoken to me, haven't said anything. They've just instantly, I've got out of the car and there's people bowing at my knees. And I'm not worthy of that, that's for sure. The kids are just unbelievable. I remember one stage, I still get into trouble from school teachers. I'm 51 and I'm still in trouble. I was playing around out the front when they were handing gifts out. I was playing around with the kids and I'm poking them in the stomach and the kids are that excited. There's like a class of them, like 20-odd kids are that excited that they're running backwards and they bowled their teacher over and I'm in trouble again. And all I'm having is fun. So it runs my whole life. It was an honour to go over with my son. The blokes we worked with, the locals over there we worked with, are just some of the hardest working people you've just ever seen. Moses, that I worked with, is a human crowbar. You couldn't extract the thing from his hands. Like, you'd go to grab the crowbar and Moses is down the hole digging. Like, unbelievably hard working people. I got given a letter, and this I'll finish off with this. I got given a letter by Richard over there, who I suppose is Marita's right-hand man. He sort of does a lot of the stuff for her. And this just gives you a bit of an indication on just how our lives impact other people over there. I'll read this out. And this was given to me as he left. Last time I saw him, as he left, he handed me this letter. And it just says, "Dave, a note from my heart. Thank you so much for being a good friend of mine. For me, time has not been the issue. Every day was very special to me. I enjoyed so much about you. I agree that for some reason you can't stay any longer than you did, and I understand. There is lessons I have been able to pick just by watching you and do what you do. Sometimes I go to bed wishing that I could that I could someday wake up when I am just half the father that you are. The way you relate with your son, how you're proud of him, and how you keep encouraging him to become a better person. I just look at you and am like, wow. Someday I want to go on a journey, a very long journey with my kids. I want to hold their hands every step of the way. I want to be in their lives so much that after I am gone, they will wish to be like me. I just wish I had such a boy to be proud of. A guy to be there when I needed him. I don't want my kids to wish they were somebody else." How's that? I want them to... Hang on. Settle. I don't want my kids to be someone else. I want them to be what God intended them to be, and I want them there to show them... I want to be there to show them how to and help them to be exactly that. You with your son everywhere, showing him what to do, encouraging him and correcting him in love. That was what's so powerful and so inspirational to me. Thanks for being there for your kid, man, Richard." Thank you.
Aidan, why don't you come up? You here? Okay, let me just show you a photo of Aid, because this is important. What Aidan doesn't know is that they've taken a whole lot of photos of Aidan sleeping and they're going to put it together as Aidan at the work party. Aid was just brilliant with kids and he worked hard with us, but he just connected with the kids in a brilliant way. And I honour him and I honour Dave and Cheryl. And Jill, why don't you come up and share? I've asked Jill to particularly share in regard to some clothes that we took over because we had the opportunity. I can't tell you what was the company. Pumpkin Patch. Chris has got onto a connection with Pumpkin Patch, and Pumpkin Patch have been giving us their seconds and the returns from their stores, and we were able to give out nearly 100 kilos of clothes, which was just an amazing thing. And Jess and Ash and Jill and Joyce and others worked with that. But I just want Jill to particularly share about just these clothes and the benefit they were to people, and just an amazing time we had with them. And in fact, one kid we gave a pair of pajamas to, and he wore them on Sunday as his Sunday suit because they looked so good. And now you know where all the sunglasses came from. And there's Jazz and Jonah in their shirts. And then this is a before and after shot of a little girl in one of the girls that is sponsored, Tabitha. And we went to their home, and there's a little brother or something. Obviously no coals, no clothes. So you can see the difference and how important clothes are. Thanks, Jill.
Is that all right? Can everybody hear me? Yeah. I have to learn not to shout. I'll read this because otherwise I'll miss things. So, another year's gone and another trip to Marita's. We did have a fantastic time. It was definitely a privilege to be able to go again. And as Graham's just said, a lot of us took over. It was very exciting to take all these clothes over. We all had these packs that had been shrunk up, and they took up most of our bagging, most of our room. I think we, in fact, ourselves, we had that much just for us. That's all we had. That's all we could fit in our bags. It was very, very encouraging to be able to take all these clothes for these children. Didn't take long for Jess and her team to unpack the clothes and put them into order, and Jess really did take control of it because she was just so passionate about it, and she just had everything in order. And it was, you know, the shoes and the tops and the dresses and the jumpers and the hats and the... there was just a mountain of clothes that came out of these little packs. It was quite amazing. And it was important to get them in their sizes because as the children came in, you didn't know which size they were going to be. They were going to be babies, or they were going to be 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds or 5 or 6 or whatever. So we really did have to have it methodically done. As the children came in for their piece of clothing, we'd give them one piece because we didn't really quite know how many children we were going to be giving these clothes to, so we'd give them one or maybe two things, like maybe a pair of shoes and a hat or something like that, or just a dress or t-shirt or pants or whatever. And so we'd give them these things, and I think we've got many photos of the children having getting these clothes. And you'd ask them if they, you know, for a photo, and the smile would just say it all. They were just so incredibly grateful for having these little things. They were just so happy. It just made them so happy. And we got some really lovely photos. We had so much clothing that we were able to keep giving the clothes to children as we saw the need. And there was many children came onto the property. They would be in rags, and poor Jess, you'd see her face and you'd see her run out, and all of a sudden she'd be bringing in a dress or a top or something for these children. She had such a heart for them. It was just so beautiful to see. It was not unusual to see Jess doing that. And as we've seen that, we saw the picture of that little fishing village where we had a few of those children came in for clothes, and they were just in rags, and it was just heartbreaking to, you know, to see that they had to live like that. They didn't know any different, but we did. We knew what they should have been having. So to them, that was an amazing thing, or to us, that was an amazing thing that we could actually give those children some clothes. And I think somewhere along the line we've got a photo of these children all lined up, and their little faces are just beaming and laughing, and they're jumping around, and we're trying to get a photo of them, and they're all looking at each other, and it's quite incredible. That was a real blessing for us as much as it was for the children. A few of us actually took some clothes to some of the families in the communities and in the community, and just to particularly to see the mums' reactions to that was absolutely priceless and incredibly humbling to us. To you know, we can just go down the street and buy what we need for our children, and they just can't. So to give them a packet of clothes or a whole, you know, just enough for a few of their children was just, yeah, was awesome. Very humbling. For me, I feel very blessed that I was able to go to Uganda and be there to witness the many changes that are happening there, and particularly to see how Marita, how hard she works for these beautiful children. She's an incredibly humble person. It was a real joy to spend time with her, and also to bring some relief and change from the normality of her day-to-day activities. And of course, for Chris and I, we spent most of our time in the kitchen, keeping the herds fed and watered, which of course we both love doing. Thank you.
It's been a real joy to have Ross and Jill and come for the second time. Ross, why don't you come up and just share? And Ross is one of those guys that's a quiet guy, incredibly gifted, and just an amazing guy who does amazing things in such an amazing way. And him and I have been together for a long time. I love him very much. And just his time and motion study gifts and finding different ways to do things. And then, of course, Jill, you'd know about this, the kitchen being used as the workshop. We broke down on the way back from Entebbe, and first thing Ross did, ripped off his shirt and got under the car to work with the locals to fix it. And here's Ross one Sunday working with a guy who came up to try and put it on you for money, I think, didn't he? Yeah. And then Ross at the fishing village, and then with his own sponsor child with Jill, Gideon. And it's a great photo. Thanks, Ross.
That's great. I was hoping I'd be last. I had a list of things and I thought, well, we'll just cross them off as other people cover them. But just I'll be brief. I think the girls will probably spend a lot more time talking than I will. But, you know, Graham's mentioned a number of times about ownership of Marita's thing. I have trouble with the word ownership. We don't own it. But, you know, the connection, there's a strong connection with what Marita's doing. The connection with Marita goes way back for us. We've been in this fellowship for quite a while, so long, in fact, that Marita taught two of our kids. So we've really got a heart for what's going on over there. Now, I guess, you know, we'd been there last year, so we knew exactly what she's been doing, but, you know, it's growing. And I think the thing that touched me more than anything was when we went to the fishing village and saw the couple of ladies trying to teach 100 kids under a tree, and then find out that Marita's, you know, helping to make that happen and helping to try and improve the circumstances out there. And so it's not just Marita, it's the broader community, as Graham said, that she's having a huge impact everywhere she looks. So I just need to quickly work out what else. I guess one of the greatest things about being there was the fellowship, you know, working with guys that I know from church here, probably guys that I fellowship with but should know better, and it's an opportunity to get to know some of the guys better. Also working with guys from outside of our church fellowship that we just had a great time with some of those guys. It was fantastic. And working with the local guys and getting to know them better and, you know, sharing skills. I mean, some of those guys are quite clever guys and, you know, we learnt. We used them, they used us. It was really good. And the other little anecdote, I suppose, the first few days we were working in teams trying to get the basic setup, get all the poles into the ground. And so there were two teams, and it was fairly competitive. It was the old guys versus the young guys, more or less. We had Dave and Matt and on one team, and Graham and I and a couple of others on the other. No, Graham was on the other team, and I was with a couple of the other more senior statesmen. And it was just great fun, the competition. And we had a couple of little tricks up our sleeve, which we didn't let on for a couple of days, but good fun. I'll tell you another... What was that? It was close. another little funny Facebook anecdote. I don't know whether I told you this the other day, but Stuart brought it up before. He was sitting in the back of the van as we travelled, and he said to us, "Oh, Marita's had a puncture." And we looked at him in disbelief. You know, couldn't believe it. Here we are, 100 kilometres from anywhere, travelling along this bumpy dirt road, and Stuart tells us Marita's had a puncture. And Marita's half an hour ahead of us, and it turns out he's sitting in the back on his computer on Facebook. And about 5 minutes later, we come up to Marita. Here she is on the side of the road under a tree on a computer putting this stuff on Facebook about a puncture while she's got the guys out fixing her puncture. So, yeah, couldn't believe it. Just an interesting little sideline. I found out that... Moose, who got to know quite well, was actually Adam, my son-in-law's best mate all the way through school. So, interesting for me anyway. Just a bit of a testimony, I guess, of my position. I don't know, a few people knew I was crook earlier this year, quite crook. I lost a lot of weight. And I guess in a worldly sense, you'd start to look seriously about whether I should have been going, whether I would have been able to really contribute that much because of my health. But just before we left, I started to come good, really come good. And while I was over there, I actually put on weight. So that's a bit of a testimony to the girls, Chris and Jill, and all the other girls who helped in the kitchen. So that'll do. Thanks.
Dave Otts, why don't you quickly come down now? Guys, we're going to have to start to speed it up a little bit. Not that anyone's been long-winded, it's probably me, but you guys are happy as a church to keep going for a little while? We could be a little bit overtime, don't complain, okay, please. Dave came in on the second group, and I felt for the guys that came in on the second group because they did miss a little bit of the camaraderie, but they certainly didn't miss any of the work we gave them to them, and... Dave got out with a slasher, and you got a sore arm from that, didn't you?
You called me a desk jockey, and that was pretty much reflective of...
Well, you were, weren't you? And it's just great having him there. And again, just the knowledge of the families that sacrifice. And this is Dave with his little sponsor child and the chairman of the village. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just, Graham's invited us to come up and say a few words and just what we got out of it. But firstly, yeah, just the privilege and blessing that I actually had the opportunity to go. Partly that's to do with, you know, the church and Graham, you know, throwing it open to people like myself, you know, a desk jockey who sits at a desk, you know, five days a week and doesn't do much manual labour. So I said that to Graham. I said, well, you know, in terms of work party, I don't know what I've got to offer, but, you know, thankfully Graham was very happy to accept me. And actually that first day I was there on the Monday, that was, I reckon by about 3:30 in the afternoon, I was done. That was a really hard day. And so that was my introduction to the hard labour. But thankfully Matt mentioned about how that was the hottest day that I had there so far. So that gave me a bit of positive news to go on with. But no, it was good the rest of it. I didn't have any ailments or anything like that. And so it all went really well. But yeah, I mean, the year before when the work party went, and actually you know, we've been coming here for about, you know, my wife and I and the kids have been coming here for about 3.5 years now. And as soon as we saw the Amari stuff going up, you know, for some reason it just touched my heart, just seeing the kids. Whenever I saw photos of the kids going up, you know, I'd just like now, you know, just started to get a bit emotional, actually. And so that first work party, I thought about going, and it didn't, you know, it panned out. I didn't go, but I'm glad I got the, you know, opportunity in this second one to go along. And it was, you know, what I got out of it is just getting the feel for Amari and how it all comes together. You know, and now instead of just seeing the photos, I can actually, you know, appreciate some of the wider things. You know, the local community, the people on the property as well. It was really great to, with the work team, you know, with the ones I already knew here and got to know a lot better, have been over there, and the ones that, you know, aren't from this church and got to know really well as well. And that was just a great feeling. The ones with the local workers, we really got a good connection with them as well, and we worked great as a team together. And of course, the children meeting Kevin and his father. I think it's Godfrey, is that right? Yeah, Godfrey. And I mean, he's got AIDS, and I don't know how much longer he's got to live. But that's pretty reflective of Uganda and the problems there, and Africa in general. And but Kevin's a great kid. It was just great to connect with him in a different way, and just seeing after the first time of meeting him, you know, just the smile when he was coming on the property each morning, you know, and if I saw him there, just the smile he had, and you know, he'd come up and just grab your hand, you know, and that's just reflective of the kids over there as well. They just love, you know, interacting with you and touching your hands and whatever else. So, you know, the children were great. I did go to a Thanksgiving service on the Sunday. That was an on-again, off-again sort of thing. You know, I want you to come to church for a Thanksgiving service. As it turned out, it was probably a little bit more Thanksgiving on my behalf. So thankfully I had my wallet with me. So it was very good. I was very touched by that. And they got me to say a word as well. I think they had a guy there that was translating. And that was just an amazing experience. I was so glad, you know, because we were tossing up whether I'd go, because I didn't want to miss the Amari church service as well. And it all fitted in really well. And I was just so blessed to be able to get to experience a local church thing as well. And that was really touching. And a thing I think everyone who was there could experience, and it really touched me from the first being there. I think it was about a bit after 8 o'clock, because the kids come onto the property pretty early, probably about 7:30 onwards, and we're still getting prepared and having breakfast and all. But as we're getting ready to go out to work, you know, you could hear the kids in the classroom singing, and that was just, you know, and the singing was something that really touched me, you know, just emanating throughout the property, just gave a beautiful feel. And they are great kids. They've got a great passion for singing. I mean, we went to some of their performances and some of their practices we could hear, and that was really touching, and it was really great. But just to finish up, you know, Marita gave a bit of a testimony one morning, and it really did, you know, just accentuate to me, you know, yeah, she's got the vision there, and it's great to see. I haven't seen it since day one, like some people here have, but it's great to see where it's at right now. But there's so much more on that plan, and as Marita said, you know, she wouldn't be anywhere there without the support of this church, without the support of the sponsors, and to go there and see, you know, the support that is needed, ongoing support, you know, the work is there. They need constant, you know, they're employed. They need constant funding. And just knowing that there's going to be a new class every year, new children that need sponsoring, and that couldn't happen, you know, without us, without everyone contributing, you know, without those donations, you know, every now and then that we get. So thanks to all the church for helping make this happen as well. But yes, that's just the final thing to touch on there. But thank you.
Nicola, why don't you come up and just quickly share with us? Nicola's been to Africa before and really wanted to get back, and she worked everywhere, and everybody worked everywhere. It's just great to see everyone put in an effort, but one of Nicola's main skills was working for Marita in producing materials in the classroom and for the classroom, and then ministering one Sunday at church to the children, doing the children's address, and she was really giving it to them. She was being nice when she was doing that, and just working with the kids. And I often look through photos and just say, well, what sums up Nicola? And that's the one that sums up Nicola. Ahoy there!
Awful photos. Thanks for that. I was fantastic. And it was actually at this service last year, when the people were sharing about going to Uganda, that thought came to my mind. I'd love to do that because I love travelling. I just love it. So if you're a traveller, this gives you an opportunity to be a sustainable traveller. You're actually contributing something where you're going. There's nothing wrong with just travelling for its own sake. But a couple of quick things. Juliet, who my home fellowship sponsors with Dale and Margie, she was a picture on my fridge. She was some money thrown in the box when I had some money. But when I met her, she becomes real. She becomes the little person. And I just really got emotional with that. And then when I remembered to say goodbye to her before, because we were leaving early the next morning, I was emotional again. If you have a sponsor child and you have an opportunity to go and meet that child, it's just such an extraordinary thing to do. If they're just a picture on your fridge and you're able to sponsor, that's fantastic, but they become, you know, just as real as we are sitting here, and we will never forget and hope to go back again. But the big contrast and the big thing for me was the little school under the tree at Songalindu. All they had was that cardboard book to learn, and it was awesome to be able to just do some quick resources for them. But the contrast in those children, the children there are poor, they're sick, they're lovely, and they're happy to see Mzungus, and they love having their photo taken, but there's not that light that the children at Amari have. And those children at Amari come from the local community, and there'll be children in that fishing village that I'm sure will be sponsored by people here, and it makes a difference. It does. It makes a difference. And I talked to Marita because I've been a teacher. I actually taught Marita. That was my claim to fame. And I'm really old. So it was just really exciting for me to go and see what she's doing. But the fact that she does it in Uganda, and she has Ugandan buildings, she has Ugandan fencing, because I have been to Uganda before, not there on the other side. It's the same. She keeps it the same. She's not LMCIsing the school in Uganda. She teaches in Lugundu. She doesn't teach. Her teachers, they have a percentage of English taught to them, but she teaches in their primary language and is equipping these children for the future and for growth in their own lives. But again, one of the big highlights for me just quickly was, that's the Nile River, hello. I'm sitting there thinking, that's the Nile. There's only one country between me and the Nile, and that's the Sudan, and then there's Egypt. And then when I looked on the map, I thought, oh, hello, there's Jerusalem. So if you're travelling, you could extend that, like David went into England. It's just such a thrilling thing to do. All those things that everybody else talked about, I appreciated too. So it was great. Thanks.
Chrissy, why don't you come up and quickly share? And I'm sorry, we need to go through these guys because it is important. And if you have to go, I do apologise. You start talking, Chris, and I'll show some photos.
Yeah, it's just exciting just being part of the team, like everyone else has said. But before I went, I really felt impressed by God that I needed to run a prayer warfare team while we were over there. And I run the prayer warfare team here, but that was something God put on my heart. When we got there, it was very, very interesting. So our prayer warfare team was Joyce, me, Jill, Nicola, and also Mildred, who is Marita's help. And that was just awesome because in the natural, the guys were building the fence, they were surrounding the property, they were securing it. And that was just fantastic, seeing that on the ground. But in the spiritual, we were actually doing exactly the same. And it was just a very, very powerful time. Each day, when after lunch, we'd go out for about an hour or so and walk around the property, around the perimeters of the property. We ended up going around the whole lot. We'd do a little bit of it at a time and stop wherever God told us to stop. And we saw over that time a securing in the spiritual sense of this whole 40 acres of land. And everybody knows that Uganda is a very dark place and that there's a lot of dark spiritual activity, and particularly up north where Merida is, that's very a very dark place, and there's lots of spiritual occult practices and things like that. So we had some amazing experiences during our walks around the property. We came across a few spots which we were very, very, very heavy and dark on her property. And inquiring, we were talking to Mildred, and she said, she told us ghosts a lot of information, and it actually was a place where people, the different tribes, would wander through that particular area down to the fishing village. And so there was a huge amount of sacrifices made on that particular property over the years and over the generations. And this is a lot of the occult and a lot of the tribalism things that took place there. And so it was just amazing how God took us to these places. We would stand and pray, and as I said, they were very, very dark and heavy. And we'd pray until we felt a release in the spirit. And that scripture kept coming to mind, that everywhere you place the sole of your feet, I will give you. And we walked over that whole property and placed the sole of our feet there. That property now belongs to God. It was used for sacrifice in the past. It was used for a lot of occult practice. It now belongs to God. And as much as the property was secured with a fence line, it's now secured in the spiritual sense. And we can see this amazing property that God's given Merida as a shining light in this very dark community. And, you know, it was generations that have formed it to the place where it's got, but we just saw Merida changing lives for the next generations. So starting with the younger children, the generations from here are going to have a totally different foundation to what the rest of the generations before have been planted on. They've got light, they've got hope, they've got peace, they've got so much more that they can have, that they can bring to the generations coming. And so it not only starts, as we've heard this morning, with Merida's property, which is a bright shining beacon in a dark place, but even down to Songalendu village, where she's now sending out more shafts of light. And that's going to totally change the whole community from here on in. So what an amazing thing to just be part of, and I just am so grateful to God that he gave us that opportunity there. And I would just encourage all of you, whenever you think of Merida, she is in a dark place, she has got the light of the Father within her, just remember her and uplift her. She's a woman on her own in a dark place. Thank you.
Joyce, why don't you come up and share? And I honour Joyce and Bill, and just again for what they're sacrificing, but also for just what's happening. Joyce is going to speak about sponsorship and just something we saw there. You start talking, Joyce, and I'll show them some great. I got this great photo of you being wet, Joyce. Yeah, I did.
You said what we happened in Uganda stayed in Uganda.
Yeah, it has. You start, Joyce. I've got some more photos for you.
As I watched the 90 children come onto the compound, I began to observe and contemplate and consider the impact that God was having through Amari on the lives of these children. And I began to wonder, what is it that, in reality, what's really happening here? Children all over the world have the same basic needs. They need love, they need care, they need security, regardless of race or creed. There were children who were coming onto the property who I knew were cherished, they were loved. There were children who were just tolerated, like they are in any society. There were children who were obviously very neglected children. And on the law of averages, there had to be children who were being abused. But the huge significant factor that really struck me, these children were in all those categories, but the bottom line was they were so poor. The level of poverty is something that, until you see it, you just can't believe that communities can live in the level of poverty. We in Australia live in the top 3% of the socioeconomic scale, and these children live right down near the bottom. We went into a hut one day, and it would be 12 by 12, mud floor, thatch roof, big hole in the roof, 8 children who sleep on 1 bamboo mat, mum and dad in the corner, and a seating arrangement of 1 a stool about that long, and that was their living conditions. The water that they used, they brought in with the jerry can. And that was pretty typical of the village where these children lived, and that was the level of poverty that these children were coming from. Amari means, in Ugandan very loosely, it means, I love you. The compound is in reality an expression of God's love exhibited in the acceptance of these children. There's an incredible effort made by every staff member, and they make the sponsorship that we give, they make it come into a reality, into being. Never, I just sat there and I thought, never underestimate that however big or small that you contribute to the work in Uganda, you make a difference. Look, I think of the widow's mite and I just think, God's doing something wonderful over there. Whatever we give has just been blessed time and time again. And the lives of these children are being changed. It's not a drop in the ocean. Somebody said to me, it's pretty useless. It's like a drop in the ocean. And I thought, no, it's not. It's extremely significant what we're doing. Each child has the opportunity to experience hope. And that was the thing that I couldn't put my finger on. And then I realised one day, Marita was talking to me, and I realised it was this hope. It's often an elusive ingredient that provides the impetus for children to develop and go forward. And it gives a child an idea that there is a possibility for them. They can have an expectation. It's a possibility that they wouldn't have if they didn't have this opportunity. And hope is the confident expectation of God, of good, and God is good. So I want to bring you a little incident. Jess, Nicole's sister, you can imagine what she's like. She's like a dynamite. And she came out of the room one day and she said, I know what I'm going to do. She'd been given some money by her friends at work. She works in at Alfred in the trauma department, so she's really got her act together. And she'd been given this money and she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy those women some mops. And I looked at her and I said, why would you do that? And she said, well, they're down on their hands and knees and they're washing the floor. I'm going to buy some mops. And I said, Jess, you can't do that. And she looked at me. I said, you can't do that. It would be not a good thing to do. Culturally, you don't need to do that. It would be offensive. And she looked at me stunned. And I said, you know, those women are very proud of the fact they bend over. Down on their hands and knees with their rags and they wipe the floor, but they're very proud of what they do. And I said, culturally, you can't do that. So she said, well, what am I going to do with the money? So we just left it there. The next day, a father came on with another gentleman and a little boy. And straight away, Jess zoned in on this little boy because of her professional training. She could see straight away this dear little boy. We found out later he was 5, but he looked like about a 2.5-year-old. And he was covered in scabs on his head, on his face, on his arms, on his legs. The father looked like he could hardly walk. He was so ill. And they walked onto the property and Jess came over and she just looked. And I watched her reaction and she was saying to Marita, what's wrong with that child? Why isn't something being done? And Marita explained to her that it was a medical condition and Marita didn't have the money. She can't just give out money willy-nilly, that this child needed to have some medical help. And straight away, Jess knew what that money was for. She thought she was going to be buying mops, but no, she had this little child in front of her who obviously needed some immediate attention. So through a series of things that happened, Jess was able to pay for medical intervention straight away, and within days this little boy was on to medication, and then she was able to go into the family and she was able to minister to the family and give them things that they need, and then she was able to set up sponsorship. Now that's just what happens, is that the needs are there, the needs are always there, but here was a girl whose heart was moved. She had the push, as you can imagine, being Nicole's sister. She had the push and she straight away got stuck into it. And it was just wonderful to see the reaction of not just this little boy, but the whole family, just by one woman being there and having the wherewithal to be able to help. So that was just a little glimpse of the things that we saw day after day after day of these children and that hope being given to them so that they have an expectation for something better in life. Thank you.
Let me give you a couple of photos of Jess quickly. She was a goer, fair dinkum. And talk about it. She had a passion for this goat called Little Gerard. And she was into everything. She made up a game of Skittles for the kids, painted blackboards. You know, everybody worked hard, but just because Jess's mum and dad are here, I'll show these photos. And there's one photo here that you would swear it was Nicole. Don't call her Nicole, by the way. That doesn't work, I can tell you. And she's pretty quick with her tongue, too. She called me an adult brat. Bill, do you want to share or do you want to let us close? Close. Good stuff, Bill. Thank you for letting us do that. Let me bring this to a close, and there's three things that I want to set as a church, and you've got in your notice sheet today a newsletter that came out last night, but you've also got an expression of interest, and it's not just work party, it's ownership for what we do. There's three things that I saw that created some compassion in me, but also really made me realise just we've got to do something about it. The first thing that probably hit me more than anything else was that Marita is driving a vehicle that is being used as the work truck. She was driving down to Kampala recently and it did roll over. One of the locals was driving it for her, and that has destroyed it in every way. It's being used to carry everything. It's being used by everybody. And just to show you what the roads are like, this was us coming home on the day that we left to go home. It only has to rain for about half an hour and everything is wrong. And we were just driving down the road. Now, vehicles were okay, except they had road tyres on. And Chris and I were in the vehicle with another couple, and for some reason, the thing just span around and we were facing the wrong way. And when I go back to Marita's vehicles, that's her vehicle. She drives it everywhere. It gets used for everybody. And to buy her a vehicle that would create safety for her. Excuse me. I know that Bill and Joyce worry about her all the time. And for her to have a vehicle that nobody else drives, that is safe, that's geared for the road that she's driving on, would be just a great thing. So that would be number one. Number two would be in our capital works next year, we need to build a classroom. But we also, I think, need to build for Marita a new home. This is her home. Compassion. And this is her bed. And Jazz and her sleep in the same room together. She works late at night. Everything's wrong about how she's living. And she would put all her money into everybody else. We need to build her a home. And she does everything, everything. You know, this is a typical face of Marita thinking about it, and she's got 50,000 million people coming at her. So we need to, she preaches at church. She helps with the building. That's the toilet seat and reading the instructions on where it goes. I could have told her where it goes. And then the sacrifice that she's made to leave her mum and dad. Can't even speak about that one. Okay, and then the third one is the sponsorship of the kids. And thanks to Stewie, we have some fantastic photos of the kids, and you guys are doing an awesome job. So three actual challenges this year. One, a vehicle for Marita. Two, capital works, including building a home and a classroom for next year. And then sponsorship of children. Andy, can we close in prayer, close in song? What about that song, Everything? Okay. Guys, we are doing an amazing job as a church, and Marita's doing an amazing job. And, you know, I don't feel sorry for Marita anymore because she gave a testimony, which we'll probably show sometime, where she said she would rather be there than here. And that's her heart, that's her home. apart from family, I think there's nowhere she'd rather be. So let's support her. Let's continue to take ownership of what she's doing. And let's realise that we're making a difference with her, as Chrissy said, in a dark place. And we're impacting kids' lives. And I reckon in 20 years' time, you're going to see a community that's changed because of what Marita's doing.